Oh, yeah. I think we're live. Are we live, Aaron, on this radio show? Is this radio show a go?
It's time for the Packer Outright Opinion Show with the Hafman Brothers. These brothers grew up in Packer country and are passionate, lifelong Packers fans. They tell it like they see it, keep things informative and entertaining, and have some fun along the way.
But they are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Bring your questions and comments and enjoy your time with the Hafman Brothers.
If you want to crown them, then crown their ass.
Now, anybody that watches or listens, for that matter, if you're listening, I can describe the fart gun. If you've never watched the movie Despicable Me, it's kind of a blue gun with a light on top and has a wide opening to let the full fart gun sound out, not smell in this case, because it's a toy. It's not like it really was in the movie. Hafman Bros, Packer Outright Opinions, by the way. Anyway, the point
I was going to say, can we tell them what we're... Hey, everybody, fart gun. You start with fart gun.
The point is...
You're an award-winning journalist?
That's true, and that's coming in some of our promos. Let me start over. Welcome into Hafman Bros, the Packer Outright Opinions show with award-winning journalist, me... and my brother.
Yeah, I'm just the guy.
Look, man, we got to find joy and happiness and distraction where we can find it. Because these Packers, while they kind of played the way this fart gun sounds, in our show, the fart gun is actually a salute to something positive. So the Packers from that game do not get a fart gun salute. They don't deserve it. Absolutely not. 15-10, lost to the Lions, Ben, at Detroit. 15-9. I gave him an extra point. I feel bad for him. Anyway, the point is, how do the Packers lose 15-9? 9 points.
Well, they're $50 million a year, 4-time MVP, Super Bowl winning, 1-time future Hall of Famer quarterback decided to throw 3 picks and a terrible ball, which cost him 28 points.
Oh my goodness!
Single-handedly cost them 28 points.
Wow.
With okay. bad pass, and a bad pass. Thrown off his back foot, thrown into a guy's helmet. And what was the other one?
He didn't look.
He didn't look on the one to Tonyan. We saw that on Wednesday night. He looked over this way and just threw it over this way, not realizing that Tonyan was triple covered because he didn't look there. He just threw it, which is beyond... it doesn't even compute in my brain that Aaron Rodgers, the guy who would never want to throw a pick, is throwing a no-look pass into triple coverage. But that's what he did.
That is really weird. Now, let me ask another question. Maybe there's another reason for some of this poor play. You know, Aaron Rodgers, I'm sure, would never want to admit this, but, you know, he's getting old. Could his vision be deteriorating? Does he need maybe some corrective lenses or LASIK? It's helped other guys, right?
I don't know.
It's possible.
I don't think that's going to help because it's more than just vision. It's mechanics. Yeah. It's decision-making. It's arm strength.
Oof.
It's getting spooked by thinking you're the offensive lineman in front of you can't block.
That's a good point.
It's all kinds of things that are not working for him. So I don't think fixing his vision is not going to really help him all that much.
All right. I was just trying to find an easy solution. Hey, we got some good stuff to get into. But before we get into that, it's funny that Ben just says all these things because this past week we had some people, you know, really laying out the case that it's really all these other guys that are the problem and poor Aaron and oh my goodness. And he just, you know, think about all this sort of stuff. So our friend actually filling in tonight, I almost forgot. I got so distracted by the opening of the show. Being a little wild there that our Aaron is filling in, not Aaron Rodgers, but our Aaron at Civic Media filling in, producing the show tonight. Aaron, thanks for being on with us. Appreciate it.
Fun fact, I actually have the same birthday as Aaron Rodgers. Obviously not the same year, but December 2nd.
Wow. Well, that is a fun fact. And actually that makes Aaron Rodgers a slightly more likable person.
No.
Yeah, it does. Because Aaron's a really awesome guy. Anyway, besides,
I know, but I don't know Aaron, so it doesn't help me at all. So sorry, I still hate Rodgers.
Okay, well, let's get into some of the excuses making. Some other people said something. Ben and I talked about it on our Wednesday night program, which you can always find on YouTube. Again, if you subscribe, everyone should subscribe. I don't know why you haven't yet. If you've seen it, I mean, everyone that sees a video should subscribe 100%. But we did a game review. We talked about, you know, we looked at this Kurt Warner video that's out there breaking down, and there are plenty of other problems, 100%, no doubt. But a lot of excuse making in those displays of the problems, a lot of excuse making for Aaron Rodgers. So another guy, former teammate, I believe, Mike Wall, did some excuse making, and we have some clips from Mike Wall to play tonight. So Aaron, if you could have those ready, give you a minute as I intro those in, and we'll just play them in order, or any order, doesn't really matter too much. But Mike Wall, former offensive lineman for the Packers for a number of years, he joined Andy Herman on his Pack-A-Day podcast. And he had some interesting things to say about what's happening with this offense and what's happening with Aaron Rodgers. Let's hear what Mike Wall had to say in the first one here.
Aaron Rodgers had a bad game. He had one of the worst games I've ever seen him play. He made some bad decisions. He made there's some throws to be made that he hasn't made that he's made in the past. There's some times that he's seen the rush that, and you know, after his maybe second or third year in the league, you didn't see him making, you know, seeing the rush and making those errors like he's made it. He still is able to make any throw on the field. He's still able to do things with his legs. He looks like he moves just as well as he used to.
Now, Mike, while you had me, I was with you that first half. I was like, I was there, bro. And then all of a sudden he goes 180. What? How do you say that in the same sentence?
Well, because he'll make one throw a game where it's like, ooh, there's Aaron Rodgers, like the touchdown to Lazard. That was an Aaron Rodgers throw that – usually he makes four of those a game, or five of those a game, or six of those a game. And now he makes one of those a game. And instead of that, in the past where he'd make one terrible throw, now he makes six, seven, eight, nine terrible throws for this one good throw. So it's actually, he's not the same player anymore. I don't know. And Mike Wall, former players, who am I to tell him whether he's right or wrong? It's just, I mean, anybody can watch that game, and you'd see the Packers would have won if they had me at quarterback. We would have won. The Packers would have won that game
if they didn't have three interceptions, all in basically in the end zone. I mean that when you lose a game by 6 points, and that's the case, that makes a difference. Well, 100%, as well as other stuff. We got some more Mike Wall, but what else you got? Quick.
Well, I was just gonna say something real quick.
Yeah.
In the summer, we went to practice and we watched Family Night and some other things. And in the preseason, we saw Jordan Love be really accurate in the red zone. He was actually way better than Aaron Rodgers in the red zone. Maybe they should just put Jordan Love in. When the Packers get inside the 10, inside the 20, just put Jordan Love in, let him take over, and I think they'll score more points.
You called for that after Family Night. You called for it. Yeah, it would have been a wild approach. Take him out when he can't get the touchdown. That would be really great. He would really be happy with that one. What else did Mike Wall say, Aaron? Let's hear from Mike Wall again.
And sometimes, even as great as you are, when people around you don't perform, you have bad days. And sometimes those bad days, unfortunately, come in succession. And that's kind of what is happening with Aaron Rodgers right now. But moving forward, this guy is the best opportunity to win football games.
A little tick.
What do you think about that last bit, Ben?
Aaron Jones is the best guy for us to win football games. We proved it against the Bills.
We proved it every week.
Well, we ran an offense that was designed for the running game. We had double team blocks. We had pulls. We had extra guys picking up the backside blitzer on runs and passes. And in this game, they went back to the same old, everybody just flow to this way and try to block somebody. And then, of course, they don't. And everybody just slide over this way and block somebody, except nobody does. There's no double teams. There's no cool moves. There's no motion. Everybody just stands there and does nothing. And then when it comes to the wide receivers, this was a ridiculous game. There was six or seven times the receivers were laying on the ground, and it was all sad. That is part that's going to hurt Aaron Rodgers. But it's because of Aaron Rodgers, because he wants to just have everybody stand in one spot and win your one-on-one matchup. Mm. These guys are not good enough to win their one-on-one matchup.
That is perfect. Let's hear what else Mike Wall had to say.
the most important part about being an athlete, every athlete figures this out at a different time, but the most important thing, the most value you have to a team is your ability to win your 1v1 matchup. We could talk about all the schemes and all Matt LaFleur's genius, you know, Sean McVay offensive coaching plans and all how we're going to attack it. If you can't win your 1v1 matchup, you are not valuable to the team. And we have guys that just don't win very often. And it really is that easy.
Is it that easy? Is it? Number one. Number two, as we're ending our first segment here in a couple minutes. Number two, if you can't win your one-on-one matchup, you have no value. What?
There's a lot of guys in the NFL that have no value then, because half of them are going to lose the one-on-one matchup, right? I mean, that's just
somebody's losing it every play.
Right. Like half of the guys in the NFL have no value then, based on that. I don't know. I'm not a genius, but I'm pretty sure that that means half the guys have zero value in the NFL. So then, I guess, why are they on the team? I don't know. But I don't know.
On top of it, isn't that where coaching comes in? Isn't that where, I mean, we've seen plenty of coaches who are smart. And a big part of coaching is understanding what you have, right? Understanding how to get the most out of what you have. It's not, hey, go win your one-on-one matchup, guy, every time. And that's what we're banking on to be successful. It's, let me understand what you're good at. Let me utilize you in that way, so you can be in the best position to have success, and that helps the team be in the best position to have success. Isn't that what it should be? Or should it be, win your one-on-one matchup, you're worthless. Get the heck out of here, boy. Dumb.
Well, I don't know how you can expect our guys to win one-on-one matchups. In this game, these are our four wide receivers. We had an undrafted guy, a seventh-round pick, a third-round reach, and a guy who was sitting on his couch getting fat before they signed him this summer. So that's your four guys that you think are going to win your one-on-one matchups? I don't think so. You need to scheme these guys open. We know what we have. The Packers coaches should know what they have. And Aaron Rodgers is not letting the coaches put their guys in the best chance to actually win. Period.
Well, interesting comments and ones I didn't really agree with, but we'll talk more. More Packers, more other stuff when we come back. Packer up.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
This song, it reminds me of the Packers season. Sludge Factory is the title. What's Sludge Factory? What would you call this that we're witnessing, Ben? What would you call it? I mean, it's just it's inexplicable to me. And you said it before, like, again, I don't understand what the heck Mike Wall is getting at here, other than he's, you know, making excuses for Aaron Rodgers and, you know, whatever. And I understand if you're a Packer person, you want to do that right now. I get it. You know, he's the guy that makes all the money. He's the star of the franchise. He's the longest tenured guy, blah, blah, blah. I 100% get it. For a lot of people to want to do that, to want to find someone else to blame. And there are other guys to blame. The blame should be shared, definitely. But Rodgers should share and handle the brunt of it. But when you say all these things that happened, and then you go and say he's still our best chance of winning games and all this sort of stuff. No, the Packers have proven over these games, right? The nine games that they played, 3-6, they have proven that when they run the ball a bunch, the offense moves it and they're pretty successful. And when they score some more points, and when they don't run the ball a bunch, like they did against the Lions, 47 passes and 21 rushing attempts with your running backs, they lose. And the other key part is when you have, I mean, is Ekus with us yet? If Ekus is here, we'll bring him on. He says he was calling in. You can have him join us anytime here. All whenever right. He's ready.
He should be on now.
All right. Ekis, are you there? I have a question for you. Well, we'll welcome you to the show. We won't leave a question. How are you doing, Ekis? Luck of the Ekis. Are you there?
I think
we'll get him back.
It looks like he's on the Waukesha phone line.
Oh, okay. Well, fair enough. We'll see if he can get himself straightened out. I will ask Ben this question then. The question is, Ben, when you see it, when they run the ball a lot, when they use Aaron Jones a lot, and they have success offensively, we know that's the formula for a better chance at winning. And then on top of it, when you hear everyone else, we saw Kurt Warner break this down, all the problems in the passing game. We saw, and you know, with Aaron Rodgers and the receivers and the offensive line, you know those things are there. You know those things are there, right? Everybody knows. Everybody. Your opponents know it. All the position groups know it. All the coaches know it. Everybody knows it. All these problems are there with the passing game, 100%. So if you know all of that, Kurt Warner breaks it down, Mike Wall breaks it down, why do you keep trying to pass more than twice as often as you're trying to run if you know you have all of these problems passing in the passing game? Why?
Because you have a $50 million a year, four-time MVP, one-time Super Bowl winning future Hall of Fame quarterback who runs the show. It's not that hard to figure out. The other thing I'm going to say really, really important is that running the ball is not just the answer. It's running the correct type of running plays, okay? And unfortunately, in the games where they have a 3-yard average per carry, like this last game, where they weren't really moving the ball that well, they're running those zone read plays or the zone runs or the run pass options or he calls them run solutions or whatever the case it is. And unfortunately, what that does is it keeps our offensive linemen as kind of a passive unit. They move to the side or they move, you know, horizontally or whatever it is, but they're not able to get on a guy and push him forward and make a hole, right? Because it's designed to have everybody move this way. And it's designed for athletic, quick foot type offensive linemen. Well, let me tell you something. Our center is not that, okay? John Runyon is a little bit of that. Jenkins is that. Zach Tom is that. Yash, not so much. And Bakhtiari, yes. So half of the guys can do it and half the guys can't. But when you run plays that are double team blocks or, you know, just getting off the ball and smacking a guy, it's an actual running play, not the option to pass it. You're more likely to move the ball forward and give our two best players on offense, our two running backs, a better chance to find a hole because a hole will be there. Like they'll not get touched until they're at least a yard or two downfield. When they do the plays where everybody's moving to one side, that zone read, sometimes they're getting hit 2-3 yards in the backfield because guys kind of can't get to their block. They're not fast enough to get off their, you know, 3-point stance and get up and get to this place. And the defensive lineman beats him to that hole and runs right through and causes a big mess or a big log jam. And you know, you end up losing the yards or maybe only get 2 or 3 or whatever it is. And that's the reason why. And in this game, in the Lions game, those are the type of plays they ran. Plays that don't work in the running game. Yet they keep doing those. And then also they passed, and they moved the ball, but it wasn't good enough. And when you saw the Bills game, that was where they ran the type of plays that this offensive line is good for and best utilizes our running backs. So it's not just running, like everybody's like, oh, run the ball. No, run the right plays to run the ball, to utilize your best players.
And you and I and Rick talked about that a while ago, Raider Rick, how the difference in the offensive lineman's approach when you know it's that type of a running play and you're attacking the defensive guy versus these other, you know, RPOs, run solutions, blah, 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 where you're just flowing or moving laterally. If you play attacking style guys on the other side and you're moving laterally, well, you lost already. You're beat because they're coming at you and you're trying to move sideways. You have no power. You're at a disadvantage. I don't care how good you are or should be. You're going to lose that block most of the time. And that's what we see. So you're right. It's the offensive system, the way they run some of these plays and the blocking schemes. In some of the games that they've run the ball more, we saw a lot more interesting blocking schemes And I think that's fun also for the offensive linemen and the tight ends when they get to mix it up a little bit and do some trap blocks and do these different things. So anyway, the point is run the ball, run the right plays, and have better balance, and you'll have more success. That was a turd of a game. It was a turd of a game. When we come back, we're going to find some bright spots to talk about, and then we're going to move on, and we'll talk to Jason Eckes too. Luck of the Eckes after the break. Man, I feel like we're still having a hard time getting over this game, but we're going to move past it. We're moving past it tonight. We're getting excited. We'll talk about the Cowboys last segment and Mike McCarthy coming back to town and all that good stuff. But we have a guy who's been waiting to give us his 2 cents, and it's Luck of the Eckes calling into the show for the first time here on the radio. Luck of the Eckes, how are you, sir? Oh, something's not right. He says he can hear us. We can't hear him. Darn.
Yeah,
I don't know what's
I can
going on.
See on the phone system, I can see the little person talking thing that lights up when he's talking, but I don't hear anything coming through. So I'm going to talk to Luke about that one.
All right. So we have a mystery on the phones. The one night we had Luck of the Eckes calling us, mystery on the phone. Sorry, Eckes. Yeah, you can comment in. We apologize. Our apologies. I don't know what's going on with the phones tonight. Sometimes that happens. That's all right. We got some other stuff to get into. Apologize to Eckes for us, Aaron, and then we got to get ready to do some plays and move on to some happier spaces. Ben, I found a happy play. I found a happy play that we'll get into here in a second. But before we get to that, let's talk about an unsung hero of this game, a player that stood out but didn't stand out, but stood out to us. So it is time. It is time, Aaron, to play the open for the silent but deadly player of the game.
Silent but deadly player of the week.
Okay, it's time for silent but deadly player of the week here this week. Ben, I yield to you. Do you have a silent but deadly player of this terrible 15-9 loss to the Lions?
Well, after watching the tape and seeing a bunch of different things going on in the game, there was one guy who looked like he actually wanted to be playing on Sunday, and that was the linebacker McDuffie. He was out there in base sets, and he was getting off blocks. He was beating, pulling guards to the hole. He was making tackles. He was hanging on to guys and actually not just, you know, using his shoulder, just bumping them, and then, you know, they just bounce right off. No, he tackled the guy. So he was all over the place. That, of course, played special teams. And you know, probably wouldn't notice him, a normal person watching the game, but the defense only gave him 15 points. And a lot of that had to do with this guy stopping on a lot of runs when he was in the game. Now, he was in the game the whole time. But when he was in there, I would say McDuffie is my silent but deadly player of the game.
I like it. I like Isaiah McDuffie. He flashed at times. You know, he was doing some good things. I like it, too. That was a great choice. I'm going to say my silent but deadly player of the game this week.
Your same guy as the last two.
I mean, it probably could be. It could be. I mean, it could be Jaron Reed again. It could be Rasul Douglas again.
No.
It could be Quay Walker, actually. But no. I'm going to go with, in this case, I'm going to go with silent but deadly player of the game against the Lions. No, I can't say offensive line again. I'm going to say Chris Barnes. Chris Barnes had 8 tackles. He led the team in tackles. Guy just got back. They leaned on him. Now, he screwed up a little bit. I understand. He tackled some guy with his face once. I think he hurt himself. But he was flying around and trying, and all I care at this point is look like some guys who look like they want to play football and are trying hard, and Chris Barnes showed me that. So because of that, I give him the nod for silent but deadly player of the week from me, Chris Barnes. Congratulations. And Ben, giving it to Isaiah McDuffie, another linebacker. Now, once upon a time, Packer inside linebackers was like one of the worst positions, right? Forever and ever and ever. And now there are both our silent but deadly players of a game, two inside linebacker guys. What's going on here with this Packers team, Ben? Those aren't the first round picks. Those aren't the number one high paid guys. Where are all those guys in this defense? What's happened to them?
They stink. Matter of fact, I had an idea the other day where I wanted to change one of their names.
Okay, what do you got?
Darnell Savage, to me, is now Darnell Suckage.
Oh.
That's his new name. Darnell Suckage, because he is terrible. Can we please get him off the field? Put in some Rudy Ford. Because I am getting sick of watching Darnell Suckage suck up the joint. Missed tackles. Can't cover anybody. Tell guys to go and, hey, you cover guy while I stand here. And then he just lets him go. And then guess what? He's a wide open tight end for a touchdown. And then another play where, you know, here's a guy running right next to him in the end zone. And he's like, I should cover this. But instead, I'm going to just stand here. And then he runs past him and catches a touchdown. Both touchdowns are because of our good buddy, Darnell Suckage. So I know he's a first round pick. I know they picked up his fifth year option. I don't care. Get him off the dang field. Please put Rudy Ford in there, for God's sake. Please.
Oh, so interesting. Why they picked up his fifth round option, fifth season option, I don't understand. I know he's a first round pick too, but yeah. Guy's terrible. He just never does anything of any value. It's really remarkable. Okay, so another big blow in this last game, Ben, on the defensive side. Rashawn Gary, torn ACL. I don't know. That's a rough one because he's a good dude. He's been working his tail off ever since he got to Green Bay. A lot of people gave him a hard time, including us when he was in his rookie season. And he's really come on. And the other thing they talked about, all the guys talked about, including Kingsley and Igbari this week, talked about, you know, Gary was talking to him about what he could do, you know, how he could help him be more successful because now he's going to have to take on a bigger role. And he's like, man, this guy just blew his ACL out. Can't play football anymore for the rest of the season, has this whole big thing in front of him, and here he's worried about how I'm going to play. So Rashawn Gary seems also like a good leader and a good teammate, and hopefully those parts will be able to stay. He'll stick around, but we're going to miss him on the field.
Well, I mean, we saw that this summer when we went to practice. I mean, we saw the two guys who were the leaders of the defense. It was Rasul Douglas and Rashawn Gary, and neither of them are captains, you know, quote, captains on the team. However, I think those are the two guys that should be captains because – I mean, let's face it, Kenny Clark, he's about as quiet as a mouse. Campbell can't say two or three words together and string them together. And then Amos is pretty smart, but he doesn't say anything either. So what's the point of those three guys, your captains? I would say that our main guys who are leaders are Douglas and Gary. And the fact that Gary was more concerned about making sure Igbari is ready to play this coming week and moving forward because he can't just shows what an awesome teammate he is. What a great leader he is. What a very, very important piece of this team he is. And I wouldn't have said that, you know, his rookie year because he never played. We thought he was a bust and, you know, now he's come along and he's done pretty good. And not only that, he's what this team seriously lacks is a leader and a guy who's got a little bit more, you know, like, you know, I don't know, aggression. You know, he's out there trying to make plays. Yeah, he's got something to him. You know, he's there to lead and just kind of like bring spark when there's nothing going on. It's him and Douglas who are the two guys who can do that. We need more guys like him.
Well, and I think when you, and Eckes points out here in the chat that Rudy Ford has been a great pickup and he hopes that Abram will be better than Savage and might get a chance to play. And who knows, maybe that'll be maybe a chance to see better special teams tackling as well. But more of those guys, right? On defense, where does the energy come from? It usually comes from a guy making a big play or a sack or a big hit. Like big hits, you know, strong tackles energize people on defense more than any other play. More than anything you can say, more than anything you can do other than that. Like a big hit, that fires defensive players up. And if you talk like Ford could be out there and Nixon could be out there more with the Stokes injury, and it's going to be interesting to see how Joe Barry – what they all do with that. Who's going to be on the field? Now they pick up this Abram guy. Like some better hits, better hitters on the field on defense can make this defense look a lot differently and play a lot differently, I think, just from energy that can come from that.
I would say all that is great, but unless they start scoring some points, it really doesn't matter. I mean, unless we hold the other team to 0 points, which against Dallas, I don't think that's going to happen. But especially with Gary out. But it's interesting. We're going to see what happens. I'm hoping that they can do something together by maybe being a little bit more aggressive. I think they're going to have to. Probably playing more man. I would love to see him play man on one side with Jair and have Douglas play like on the other side or the other way around, one or the other, just with a little bit of safety help over the top. And then that way, you know, it lets you play better against the run. And it also takes away that quick option. Like if you know one guy is the main option, like the first read for a lot of plays, and you can play man on him, you're going to bump and run a little bit and slow him down. That's going to really mess up the offense of the opposing team. And also, you know, turn their timing off. They're not going to know what's going on. And that'll just help the pass rush get there a little bit faster. I think we're going to see a lot more blitzing. But for God's sake, don't blitz Rasul Douglas because he's too good in coverage and too good a tackler to blitz. Blitz Savage or blitz somebody like that. Blitz Quay Walker because he's fast. And it seems like when he's got a purpose, he knows what he's doing. Sometimes he gets a little out of whack, but I think it is pretty coverage. And I've heard a lot of slander against him this week, and I don't know why. Because
Quay Walker?
Yeah, people have been slandering him all week. I'm just like,
oh, come on, man. Come on. All right. We bring you down talking about Rashawn Gary's injury. Now we got to bring you back up. Now it's time to talk about an exciting play, Aaron, from this game. I hope you're ready, Aaron, because it's time for the Vector. Oh, yeah, to introduce this play.
Oh, yeah.
All right, Ben, I thought of one. I thought of an exciting play, a play that got me super fired up. And you know what it was? Quay Walker, late in the game, attacking through the line of scrimmage, beating two blocks, and stopping the runner in the backfield for a loss, absolutely, when the defense needed to make a play and get the offense a chance to get the ball back.
Oh, yeah.
On third down.
Sometimes it can be a defensive play, too, that makes you say, oh, yeah.
Well, then I guess mine's going to be when Jair Alexander decided to break off his coverage and run in front, snag that pick, and make an awesome move, and then run kind of weird, but that's okay. And then, of course, Darnell Suckage just ran backwards and didn't block anybody, and then Douglas was running up and be like, dude, get out of the way so I can block somebody, but he couldn't because Darnell Suckage was in the way, and then Jair got ran out of bounds. But other than that, that was the play for me. I was like, what? A pick? What happened? Holy cow, holy cow, holy cow, because there was no pressure on Goff. He just threw it because he thought it was open, and Jair beeline for that sucker and beat the receiver to the ball and picked it off and took off, and it was awesome.
Oh, yes.
I would say aptly in a 15-9 game where you lose and you only score 9 points, I think that makes a lot of sense to give defensive plays the oh yeah plays in this game. So we bring you back up. Look, I said it after this game. I was impressed by a bunch of the rookies who've been playing. And for the first time in a long time, we have a handful of rookies, including Lee was asking. Lee's in the house. How you doing, Lee? Along with Raider Rick and Ekis. Asked about, hey, do you think Devontae Wyatt's going to get on the field more? And is it about time? Like, is Kenny Clark just playing too many snaps? I mean, I know it's not.
Is this a trick question? Is this a trick question? If I got to hear one more time, you know, Kenny Clark has got to pick up his game. I mean, he's still a great player. But, I mean, the last two games, he's really been. He's got to pick up his game. I'm like, that's Kenny Clark. That's the way he's played his entire career. He makes no plays. He never has made any plays. He can guy in front of him when he's one-on-one block sometimes, and then he looks really awesome. And then, of course, he does nothing after he beats the guy in front of him. He never makes a tackle. He never gets penetration in the backfield. He never gets tackles for loss. He never gets sacks. He is a useless pile of garbage. Sorry, I know everybody hates me for saying it, but it's true. Watch the film. Watch the games. He doesn't make plays.
Well, surprisingly, in this game, he had the most tackles he's had in forever. But a lot of those were, unfortunately, after the running back picked up quite a few yards. Oh, wait. Let me rephrase that. Late, I think it was one of the Lions' last drives, not their last one where the Packers got the ball back, but the one before that, Kenny Clark had an opportunity to stop a guy on third down, and he stopped him for a one-yard gain, but he needed to stop him for a one-foot gain in order to get the ball back. So he made a good play on that one, but it still was a first down. Sorry, Kenny Clark.
So well, that's pretty hard to do.
I know it is, but maybe he got deflated by that. He's like, man, that's my best play all season, and they still get a first down. Damn. Can't you see him saying that?
Yeah. Hey, people can't see this, but Lee made a comment. He said that Darnell Suckage guarding Jair after his interception was the best defense he played all year. He's correct. He ran backwards. He was fleet of foot running backwards. I mean, he was actually looking like a, you know, like a basketball player covering a guy. It was really good technique. Good foot placement. Good hip movement. I wish he played like that when he was playing safety in the backfield. It was weird looking. It was weird looking. I'm in a bad mood today, just so you know, because I'm sick of Suckage. I'm sick of Kenny Clark. I'm sick of all guys playing when they shouldn't be, because they're first round picks. When we got guys like Chris Slayton and Jack Heflin sitting on the practice squad who are way better. And we got like Hamilton sitting on the practice squad. And he's better than Jonathan Garvin any day of the week. And he better be freaking up and playing this week. And we got guys like Rudy Ford and.
And we'll be back.
All right, this is our shortest segment, so we got to jump back into it. You're listening to the Packer Outright Opinion Show. It may have been a bit of a Packer Outright Opinion Show tonight, but that's okay. Sometimes we got to just roll with it. We had a couple of issues here and there, but we keep going. We're just like the Packers. We just keep going. We got to be resilient.
No.
We got to fight
better
back.
Don't say that.
You're right. We are better than the Packers, but we're not better than the 10-1 Milwaukee Bucks. Best record in the NBA right now, by the way, playing the Spurs tonight. Hey. We have, if Ekis calls back, we'll bring him on.
It sounds like we can hear him.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Bring him back on, but before.
Oh, my God.
Ekis.
Oh, my God. It's an Ekis.
Luck of the Ekis. Hey, Aaron, play this Star Wars sound for Luck of the Ekis. This is for you, Ekis.
Get in there, you big guy. I don't care what you smell.
All right. What? Luck of the Ekis. How are you doing? Welcome to the show.
Hey, it's been too long, boys. I'm glad I'm here.
So, all right, your fondest Mike McCarthy memory, please.
Well, I have a great Mike McCarthy memory because when I was teaching in Middleton and I had to go to Lambeau Field, did a health curriculum program. And so I got to go to Lambeau Field and go into the offices and have lunch and get trained in all this nonsense. And when I was having lunch, it was McCarthy's first year as head coach. And he is walking right over. He sat behind me, and he had the same chicken salad sandwich that I had. And I stood up and said, my wife is like, what the hell are you doing? Or what are you doing? And I said, that's a new coach. And I shook his hand and said, good luck this year, coach. And he said, thanks, and walked away like I was like, who's that? But still was kind of cool for me. So,
was that before or after your joint massages that you guys had? Couples massage.
I missed out on that part. I guess I got there a little late.
All right, Ekis, how are you feeling about this season and this last game, and where are you at as a Packers fan right now? Where are you at?
You know, well, I'm still me. So bad seasons, I've made it through them before. We're all old enough that we remember the bad ones. So it's the reason it's so disappointing this year is because you thought everything was going to be so different. Your expectations were so high from how many seasons we were at 13-3. And everything has been just so full of success, whether it was deserved or not. And then this year, the wheels have fallen off, and everything that has gone wrong can go wrong pretty much. And then you get, like, the fan base is all pointing fingers, and everybody's it's just falling apart really, really fast. And it's kind of sad to see, to be honest, because I don't think that the bad stuff is going to be around forever. I think we have a bad season. We have a nightmare right now. And I don't know if it's going to get better. But I think, even if it doesn't get better this year, that the future will get better. I think we've got a lot of good players on the team. And I don't know. It's sad to see everything go the way it's going. But it is what it is. We'll weather the storm and hopefully move forward.
Is it worse because the Vikings are also 7-1? Doesn't that make it worse?
Well, yeah, that really sucks too. But did you see that thing that they post on the internet about all the Vikings wins and when they beat the Cardinals, that Tour of Duty 4 came out, so Kyler Murray was up all night playing that. That was pretty funny.
Yeah, it's true. That's part of his contract. Remember, he has to at least study once in a while instead of just playing video games all the time.
Yeah,
to make us all. To make us all a little happier, Aaron played the wrong Star Wars sound before, but that's okay. We can never have too much Star Wars sound in any show. Aaron's got our other Star Wars sound. This was supposed to be for you, Ekis.
Laugh it up, fuzzball.
Laugh it up. Perfect. I love it.
We also had some requests from our nephew Ephraim and also Ben's Jedi mind trick spouse over there who wanted us to do Star Wars stuff tonight. So that's what you get. You get to work in some Star Wars into our show. Ekis. Okay. So Ben, you got anything for Ekis?
Well,
he's good at predictions.
Here's what I want to know. Now, what game? You're going to a game coming up. Which one is that? Is that Sunday?
I'm taking my mom to the Rams game. But my brother Abe will be here tomorrow. Or on Sunday.
Abe's going Sunday. Do you know if... I don't know. I mean, I just... You were also at the... You were at the Jets game, right?
Yep.
I want to know, because that was the last home game the Packers played during this losing streak. What was the atmosphere like in the fourth quarter there when things were not going right and everybody was kind of messed up? Because I don't know. I'm not in Lambeau, but what was it like there?
It was miserable, and it was very heartbreaking to see. I mean, I don't know why people would pay $140 to boo at a team, their own team. I think that's kind of silly, but everybody can do their own thing, whatever. It's not a road I go down, but I understand when they're not playing well, people get upset. But, I mean, people are really, really down, and it seems like the younger people who are there, which there's a lot of them, they're all the crazy ones who are yelling and screaming, and all the older people are trying to chill everybody out. So it is what it is. If you go to a game, that's what you're going to get, and it's hard. I mean, winning solves everything and makes it a lot more fun. $14 beers help, too. But I don't know. It's a rough time to be going to the games, but I'm still going to go. You know, I'm not going to not show up, and I'll take the bad, even if that's all you get. You're still lucky to go to a Packer game.
And, you know, part of that, I think, is this whole generation of fans is really not known losing, right? All they've had is Packers successful seasons for the most part, a bad one here and there. But, you know, that's what they've been used to. They're not as old as us. They don't know the bad times.
Not many are, but and like I said, that's why this season is so disappointing, is because our defense was touted to be such an awesome defense with everything we've been doing and trying to fix, and that's fell apart. And these 13-3 seasons, and you have an MVP quarterback who's playing like the exact opposite of that. And I mean, our offensive line was a strong suit, and now it's a weak link. I mean, just everything that has gone wrong anything that could go wrong has gone wrong this year. It sucks, but it is what it is.
All right, we're closing on the last couple minutes of the show. We got under 2 minutes to go. Let's look at this here real quick. The numbers. The Cowboys have not been an offensive juggernaut, okay? They're only scoring 22.9 points per game here this season, only about 322 yards. Now, Ben pointed out, you know, Cooper Rush was in there for a while, but it's still the Mike McCarthy offense. Now, the Packers are down at 17.1 points per season, but or per game, excuse me, this season. But still, you know, the Packers left a lot of points on the board in a number of games. The Cowboys are not, you know, they're not even in the top 10, top 15 offensively at this point. Their defense is a little scarier, but, I mean, the Packers got to play to their strengths. So, with a little bit of hope, Ekis, what do you say for this game? You love score predictions. What's your score prediction for this game? We're almost wrapping up the show.
Man, 31-24 Packers will pull an upset. I'm at this. I always pick it. What the hell?
Wow. Ben, you got one quick before we go?
Well, here's what I would say. If we get to see Christian Watson on the field as much as possible and him making plays and while they're in Jones, I think we could win. That's a good chance. But I don't believe that's going to happen. So I think it'll be a loss. I think we'll lose 24-17.
When I say Packers, 10, Cowboys, 9. That's it for the show. We love mom and dad, and happy Veterans Day. Appreciate you out there, veterans in the world. You should get a park on salute too. Packer Outward Opinion Show. Be back next Friday. We'll do our best to be better next time, just like the Pack.
See you, I guess.
Thanks, guys. See ya. Take care.